Today on Pentecost, we really consider the gift of the Holy Spirit. And of the three persons of the Blessed Trinity, I think the hardest one to pray to is the Spirit. Because it's easy to relate to a Father and God the Father, or to Jesus, who is God in the flesh, who became man. But I think, subconsciously at least, we feel like when we're praying to the Holy Spirit, we're praying to a bird. So it's a little difficult. But in fact, the Holy Spirit is the whole principle of the Trinity dwelling within us. If we think last week to Pentecost, or last week to the Ascension, when we were discussing that Jesus had to ascend, he said he had to ascend in order to send the Holy Spirit. That Jesus was limited, in one sense, by his own will, to be limited by his human nature. That he was in a particular time and place, not all over the world, not in the universal church, but rather drawing the disciples to himself who would bring the church to the world. But once he ascended to the Father, he could send the Holy Spirit, and that Holy Spirit would dwell within the disciples and indeed within every baptized Christian. And in that way, we all become disciples, not just those who sat at the feet of the Master in a literal way, but all of us. And so, when we consider that the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit dwell within us, it would be impossible without today. And as St. Paul says, it's one Spirit, but many gifts, many manifestations of his power. And each of us has our own way that we need to experience the Holy Spirit in our lives. St. John Chrysostom talks about it as being like the rain. The rain is the same everywhere. Well, acid rain notwithstanding. But in his day anyway, rain was the same. It lands on everybody. And depending on what it lands on, depends on the effect it's going to have. So, if it lands on the grass grows green. If it lands on a flower bed, flowers bloom. If it lands in a river or a stream, water fills that stream and new life of fish and frogs and water life can take place. If it lands in a reservoir, we can drink it and it gives us life. The same water but with different manifestations depending on where it lands. And so it is with the Holy Spirit. It's one Spirit. But for each of us, it works a particular gift. It has a particular charism. Not all of us need the same gifts. Not everyone needs the gift of preaching. Not everyone needs the gift of being able to instruct one's own children in the faith. But the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit, gives that gift, and it's dependent on the person that receives it. What did the apostles need when they received our Lord today on Pentecost? Well, they needed courage. They'd been holed up in that room since Jesus had died, practically. So they needed courage to proclaim him. They needed to know the words that they were to say. And they needed to be able to be understood by others. And so they had the gift of languages. Or of tongues. A couple of those gifts were very natural. There was a courage, obviously, already in those men. They had done courageous things. I mean, we look at the fishermen who would go out to sea. There was a courage already there, but it was not realized in the faith. The knowledge was given to them by Christ, by sitting at his feet and learning from him. But they didn't know what to say. And some are supernatural. The ability for all of these people from around the world to understand what they were saying was a supernatural gift. More rare, but still, the Holy Spirit can do all things. In my own life, in my own ministry, I can't tell you how many times I'll have somebody in the confessional or be talking to somebody in my office. And the words that I come up with to say are things that I wouldn't have naturally thought of. And I know then that it's the Holy Spirit. And it might be something that, and usually is something that I already knew, that I learned sometime in the seminary or heard from a homily at some point. But the Holy Spirit can prompt that and bring it to the forefront. The Holy Spirit also guides us in what to do next. If we really listen to the promptings of the Holy Spirit, we can really start to understand what He's calling us to do in each moment of our lives so that we don't have to wonder about what God's calling us to do. We can sort of listen to those promptings. And it might not be successful what He asks us to do. But if we do it with the Spirit, it will draw us closer to holiness. Listening to the Holy Spirit is never a lost cause. Many of our great saints, following the Holy Spirit, did things that weren't successful, began hospitals that failed, built monuments that were toppled. And yet they learned something from that that brought them closer to holiness. And so each of us who have been baptized and have the Holy Spirit in our souls and were confirmed and had that Spirit and those gifts strengthened within us, those of us who receive communion and have that indwelling made real and strengthened each time, who have recourse to all the sacraments, to penance, to anointing of the sick, and to our vocational callings. That's all possible because of today. And we have to recognize that the Holy Spirit is not a dove, that's just a symbol, but He lives within us. And He's the one who teaches us how to pray. And so when we pray through the Spirit. And that, as St. Paul says, is the only way we can call Jesus Lord. Because calling Jesus Lord is not a simple statement, but it's the way that we live our lives. It's the vocation that we live out in the world. And if we can call Jesus Lord with our lives, which is only possible through Pentecost and the Holy Spirit, then we'll eventually be with the Holy Spirit in a very real way in the kingdom of heaven.